Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have Chris Mason drop by at 8:30. We'll look ahead to the Predators game tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Pick the Click coming your way at 8:45, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And then at 9 o'clock, our weekly chat with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Lots of interesting things going on right now in the NFL leading up to free agency. We'll discuss all of it with Charles coming up at 9 o'clock. But Joe, the news of the day for the Titans, Isaiah Wilson has been traded to the Miami Dolphins. Two seventh-round picks basically being exchanged. The Titans getting the Dolphins pick in 2021. The Dolphins getting the Titans pick in 2022. And the Dolphins now taking Isaiah Wilson onto their books. We'll start with just the obvious of this. When this happened, what was your reaction to it? How surprised were you that the Titans found a trade partner for Isaiah Wilson?
I was a little surprised. I would not have been. I'd probably been least surprised of all if that didn't happen. I can't say I'm shocked, because you go through an entire league and usually someone is going to look at talent and say, okay, so there's some issues. Maybe it's with the club. Maybe it's someone he doesn't like, or, you know, whatever. You know, we can fix this. Go with talent. You know, this is a basically free, you know, you're swapping, you're giving up a seventh this year, getting it back next year, getting a first round talent on your team. Okay. So in the end, I still understand why anybody would be hesitant, but in a whole league, not shocked that there was someone willing to try this.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob in Clarksville texts in and says, do you guys think that Isaiah Wilson just didn't want to be in Tennessee? Could that be a part of this?
I mean, I could sit here and speculate and guess on anything. I mean, he opted to go to Georgia for college. He didn't have to go to Georgia from New Jersey,
right?
So he chose this region. He went to college. I don't know. I haven't heard too many people come to Nashville and say, "Oh God, I really
don't like it."
Yeah,
here.
Man, get me back to Jersey. You know. So I don't. I think he had a lot of stuff going on this year, and not to take any accountability away from him or from the Titans for this whiff, but. Some stuff changed from draft day and everything that led up to draft day. Between that day, him, you know, getting drafted by the Titans to him getting here, I think something had changed, you know, and I think that there were signs from the very start of him being here, including how he showed up at camp. So it looks like he has some kind of issue with the organization or whatever, but I don't know exactly what that would be. I mean, I think mostly this is about him not being able to, you know, to perform, to keep himself out of trouble off the field, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe it will be good for him to have a fresh start and start over, and it'll be a totally different thing.
Well, and the other part of this is, like, we think that the saga is done with Isaiah Wilson here, but he's still got to pass a physical for this trade to be completed in the new league year. And
there is that.
Who knows? Like, if he doesn't pass it, he gets reverted back to the Titans here. And Austin Stanley from A to Z Sports tweeting out a picture yesterday of Isaiah Wilson, like, in a hand wrap. So, look, I don't know what's going on there, but, like, I mean, I'm not going to discount the possibility that maybe he doesn't pass the physical and that this saga not quite over for the Titans. But it seems like it is at this point.
So maybe Isaiah Wilson, all-pro tackle for the Titans, is still on the table.
Maybe so.
I'm saying there's a chance.
He's saying there's a chance. We appreciate that. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, how do we think Tua feels about this guy being the one going to be protecting his blind side? Not necessarily a guy I'd want to trust. Now, that is an interesting point, because the right tackle position, a little bit more important in Miami with a left-handed quarterback.
This is true. Yeah, well, I mean, is Isaiah Wilson penciled into the starting lineup? Are we sure about that? You know, I mean, so. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. At some point, he could be. But if he is the starter, I guess that means that he's figured some stuff out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be – he's a long way away from being a starter. There are many – both on the field and off the field, there are many things that he's going to have to overcome to be a starter here before that happens. Now, to your point, like, maybe he does go to Miami and figure it out and he becomes a good player in the NFL. I think that would rub a lot of Titans fans the wrong way. Just purely from a wishing the best for a person standpoint, I hope that happens. I hope he goes there and does well. I hope he figures some things out in his personal life. And we're talking about Isaiah Wilson in a different light this time, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I still think it's, if I had to put a percentage chance on my guess right now that he goes to Miami and just all of a sudden figures everything out, I wouldn't say it's very high in terms of my expectations for that. There, regardless of the location, I still think there are a lot of things he's got to work through. And to your point, I'm not sure Miami's the best place for that either. There are a lot of distractions in Miami.
Yeah, he obviously likes going there.
But yeah, apparently
that's not necessarily, if you're employing him, you know, what you want him to do. So, yeah, I don't know. This could go a lot of different ways. I do know, again, based on conversations last night, the Dolphins were one of the teams that came back last year with, you know, all – I'd love to know, going back to the conversation last week, how many teams actually had a quote-unquote red flag about Isaiah Wilson. I don't think it was many. But Dolphins weren't one of them, I'll tell you that. Of course, the Dolphins also saw what happened in the last year, so I'm sure they're well aware – of that, and I would sure as heck hope the Dolphins have done a lot of stuff talking to people before making this deal.
Let's go back quickly to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden text in, says, I honestly believe Isaiah Wilson won't be in the league by the end of next year. He might not even make it through an entire season this year. I certainly wonder, to Matt's point there, like how long the leash is if you're the Dolphins. Like how much are you willing to put up with off the field before you just simply say it's time to move on. Like,
yeah.
That's going to be very interesting to see from Miami's perspective.
If that's true, and it's, you know, it's a bad story. It's a bad story for a dude. So, but yeah, I mean, he's going in there with a lot of attention on him and a lot of whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's going to be I'm struggling to find the word. It's just going to be not surveillance, but I mean, you know, he's going to be under constant, I don't know about supervision,
monitoring.
Either. Yeah, but like every move he makes is going to be. And again, this is like a backup tackle, but he's also a first round pick. All of his issues have been very public, and so he knows this. He's going to go down there, and the expectation is probably more that he's going to screw it up than not. So maybe that helps him turn it around. I don't know.
We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Also get into some more Titans topics as well. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Preds TV analyst Chris Mason dropping by at 8:30. We'll look ahead to the matchup tonight for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes. That coming up in about 13 minutes or so. Right now, talking Titans. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, do the Titans get any cap relief from Isaiah Wilson being traded away? So as best you understand it, as you look at the Isaiah Wilson trade now, what does this do for the Titans from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, so, okay, again, I did this earlier in the show. This is where I'm not very smart. I don't know if anybody has figured that out yet, but I'm going to read exactly what I got from a source last night about this, okay? Portion of the prorated signing bonus accelerates forward to 21. That offsets with the salary he would have made, okay? Basically, I mean, look, a big part of the relief here is just that they aren't paying him his salary.
Right.
And now when you go down the line in 22 and 23, you take that off the books. And so in theory, you could use some of that now if you're talking about trying to redo some stuff. Now, obviously, if they would have cut him, I think the number I had was they would have just eaten 5-4. I think they would have 5-4 in dead money. I mean, this is certainly a much better deal for them overall, you know, big picture.
Yeah.
To cut him. It's not a huge, I mean, again, same source said, like, there's no financial benefit. You know, it's basically just like there's no instant. There is, of course, an overall financial benefit. But, you know, some of the bonus now, again, kind of goes forward. It's prorated and it goes onto this year's cap. So I mean, you're still taking a hit for doing this. Overall, though, obviously you have this. I mean, he signed an $11 million deal. You had the bonus, which I think was more than $6 million. I mean, you're getting out of some of that money, and it may actually help you right now when it comes to trying to find more space. So it's not. It could be an indirect help to more space this year to do more.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the pressure is on J-Rob to have a great upcoming draft to keep up with the teams like Indy, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo in the AFC. This past draft class was simply pitiful. And it is interesting. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Today is a weird day, I'm sure, if you're John Robinson, because it was pretty clear to me that as this went on throughout last season and certainly into this offseason, there was a lot of frustration with the Isaiah Wilson situation in that building. Obviously, when you pick a guy in the first round, you want him to come in and contribute right away, and it's frustrating enough to not have that happen on the field. But then you factor in some of the off-field issues as well. I mean, it was pretty clear frustration was taking place there. So I think if you're the Titans, it was probably good for you to just move on from this, and now you can reset and kind of have a fresh start from that perspective. You don't have this distraction just looming over you right now. But you also have a first-round pick that was just a total flop, and it's not like this is something that just goes away. Not hitting on a first-round pick, and especially not getting anything out of a first-round pick, that will leave a mark on this roster for years to come. So it is crucial, and we've said it many times here on this show, it is crucial that John Robinson hits on the draft this year. You cannot afford to have draft classes like this 2 years in a row. And look, the story is still yet to be written fully on Christian Fulton and Darrington Evans and the rest of the draft class from this past year. The early returns are not good with this draft class, and obviously when your first-round pick is a total bust, it's never going to be a great draft class. But there is a lot of pressure on John Robinson to make sure, both from, you know, just the simple point of hitting and proving that you can still draft well, but also the salary cap part of this too, you've got to hit on this draft.
Right. This is overall a bad, bad thing for the Titans. It's just that we already knew that it was so bad, so it feels like a win, you know. But it's terrible. You drafted someone in the first round and you gave up that player for nothing. I mean, you get one extra pick this year. You give that pick back next year. It's a bad deal. But I think that the distraction alone of Isaiah Wilson moving forward, if you think about it, what it would have been, what's going on, is he going to be in shape? What about him getting along with guys on the team? And we heard some guys kind of said some pointed things about him. I think there were some other guys who said some things anonymously.
Yep.
Cowardly of them, but still, it kind of shows you how people are feeling about him. So that's it's a thing that's just, it can't be good for anyone to have that. And so to remove that, I think, is certainly good. It's clean break and move forward. But it, like you said, it now puts so much pressure on. I'm not convinced, you know, Kyle Tucker, we had him on earlier talking about the draft class, and he's right. I mean, Darrington Evans, I don't know. Hard to tell.
Yeah.
Christian Fulton, I think he could be good, but I don't know. We didn't see much of him. I'm not convinced that the last draft class in the final analysis is going to be a total disaster. I think some of those guys, Murchison, some of those guys could end up, you know, being contributors and being worthy of where they were picked. But when your first round pick is that bad, it's going to be his worst draft, right?
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I guess, like, you know, Darrington Evans becomes an all-pro and replaces Derrick Henry or something. I mean, you know,
maybe
Christian Fulton.
Safe. I don't know.
Christian Fulton becomes the best slot corner in the league. You know, there's things that could happen, but you take a first-round pick and get zero, and that doesn't happen very often in the history of the NFL.
No. I mean, we were going through, and this I was trying to think last night when this news came out of draft picks in the first round that have gone like this in terms of you get basically nothing on the field. I mean, he had three snaps or whatever, but zero of them meant anything. There's nothing on the field you can point to, and there's not really an injury that you could point to at the root cause of it either. Like, it's just not being in shape when you show up in camp, the off-the-field issues that took place as well, being on the COVID list a couple of times, and obviously that's a challenge that no other draft class has had to deal with a pandemic and coming into a situation like that. But I do think we're looking at an unprecedented situation in the NFL when it comes to Isaiah Wilson and how this played out. I mean, we're talking about less than a calendar year from him being selected for the Titans last year in the first round to him being off the team. They just, you don't see that very often in the NFL, not with a first-round pick.
Isaiah Burwanger Wilson.
Yes. Got to go back to 36, man.
The Burwanger effect.
Every 86 years, this is what happens.
Yeah. It's like Halley's Comet.
Exactly.
God, you guys wouldn't remember Halley's Comet, would you?
No.
You weren't alive.
I know the reference, but no, I was not alive.
1986.
Yeah.
Halley's Comet came through. I think it is every 86 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Maybe I'll be alive for the next one. We'll see, hopefully.
I'm trying to think. When will that be? It'll be 2060.
That's too much math on the fly.
I'm gonna Google this during the break.
Okay, we appreciate that. But Isaiah Wilson now out the door, basically swapping seventh-round picks. And it was interesting. We had Kyle Tucker on, as you mentioned, from The Athletic a couple segments ago. And watching him prioritize, you know, how to handle free agency, it's been interesting to me to get the different perspectives on this. We had Tannenbaum on yesterday talking about how Corey Davis would probably be third on his list. Kyle Tucker says, like, there's a way you could swing two of these three to be signed. Probably pick Jayon Brown on the defensive side of the ball and Corey Davis on the offensive side of the ball. Do you think it's realistic that the Titans could sign two of these three based on the money that they'll command and the cap situation they're in?
It doesn't seem like it to me, but far be it for me to underestimate what teams can do with this salary cap.
Yeah.
I'm on the total opposite team, Jonnu only. I will say this. I have dismissed Jayon Brown. But Kyle made a great point. I mean, you have someone who's good and who makes plays, and you're on this defense that's this bad. And you're like, okay, go ahead. Good luck. I mean, I get it. It's probably worth more discussion than I've given Jayon Brown. But I think one is reasonable. Two would be awfully impressive, especially if then they're going to try to go sign a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And they're not just cutting their whole secondary and half their offensive line. I mean, maybe that's how you do it. By the way, Haley's coming is every 75 years.
Okay.
2061.
Okay, that's my target date.
You're fine. I'm probably not going to be seeing that sucker. But, hey, say hi for me.
I'll say hi for you when that time comes. When we come back, we'll switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, will drop by. We'll look ahead at the game tonight for the Preds against the Hurricanes. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Oh, you hear that music, you know what time of the week it is here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
What's up? Doing great. Sun's out. Got my intro music played. I'm ready to go.
It's a good day for Chris Mason thus far. We'll try not to derail that throughout the course of this interview here. Chris, I want to start with just the game on Sunday against Dallas. A crazy game. You're up 3-0. You blow the lead in the third period, and you're able to get it done in the shootout. What did you think of that game, and what did you think specifically of Pekka's performance in that game? I thought he was outstanding for the majority of that game.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. I mean, even if you look at the goals, there's not much he could have done on those goals. For the most part, he was spectacular. Breakaways and, you know, that Pavelski breakaway in the second period was huge. I just thought, you know, if this team's going to have any chance any night, they need him to be awesome, and he was awesome. He was awesome that game. So, you know, Dallas, they're missing some guys, but they still got a lot of firepower, a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net, and on the power play as well. So Pekka was there when he needed to be. It's unfortunate, like you said, the third period that I wouldn't say melt down a little bit, but the Johansson penalty probably set them back, and that was a pivotal point in the game. So that undisciplined penalty. I know Roman got hit, but you're up 3-1 at that point. And you just can't afford to take that penalty. That's when you have to kind of bite your tongue and save it for another day. But that was out of frustration to put them on their heels, and they ended up Dallas got a point, but we know they came back and won. So at the end of the day, it was a good resilient effort to pull it out.
Simeon, what do you think about Roman and what we've seen from him? Just since Saturday, stuff he said, his demeanor on the ice, it looks like he's kind of fed up with some things. What do you think about that? Have you noticed that? And what do you think, I guess, that does for the team?
Well, I honestly, if your captain's getting to a point where I'm sure, the coaches have tried to change the message, come down hard, watch lots of video, take it easy, take a step back, let the guys breathe, to try to figure out what's going on, to try to get some consistency with this team. And, as a captain, you take on a lot of that burden and you take on a lot of that weight, because it's some of it, I guess you feel, which it probably does, falls on your shoulders. So I think he's noticeably frustrated because essentially he's the one that when things aren't going well, he's got to face the music and he's answering the same questions. And you get to the point, like you said, Joe, like he's frustrated in the media. He gives great answers and he's very open and available and all that kind of stuff. But on the ice, I'm starting to see that a little bit too. This is a guy that these guys are used to winning. These guys are used to having success and not having to deal with this for this long of a stretch. Every team goes through it at some point, but this is, kind of went on a little too long. So it's got to be frustrating for him, especially, and then you add the physical abuse that he took last game and he didn't get called, but I think it's all kind of mounting on him. And, I noticed the same things.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. And C-Mace, we've talked to you a lot about Elli Tolvanen and his progression away from the puck. I want to focus in specifically right now on the shot that he's got. I mean, the two he had over the weekend on the power play, just ripping the puck, especially that one in Dallas. I mean, that was a world-class, elite-level shot. As a goaltender, and it's interesting, we talked about this yesterday with Darren as well, when you've got guys where it's no secret where they're going to be, you know that guys like Ovechkin and Stamkos, they're in the same spot every game on the power play, and yet they're always so productive, they're always so dangerous with their shot. As a goaltender, what's it like to face a guy like that with a shot the caliber that Tolvanen has?
Well, honestly, it gets to a point where you start to guess a little bit as a goaltender because it plays mind games with you. When you have Ovechkin, you're like, okay, he's going to go, or Stamkos, same thing. He's going to go under, he's going to try to go under the bar on the blocker. And then they blow one, middle of the net glove side. And it's their accuracy. Those guys shoot the puck, obviously a ton, in terms of velocity, they can get that thing going up in a hurry. But it's their accuracy that sets them apart because there's a lot of guys that can blast the puck and it comes off their stick. You're like, oh my God, look at that shot. But it's like 10 feet wide. But those guys, they just have such control of where that puck goes. And there's those little, those little areas, those little corners or little sweet spots that you can get a goalie if you hit that spot. And Tolvanen, to me, he's different than those guys because he's a lefty on the left side. But he just walks in, and now, especially with his confidence, I think we'd all agree we're starting to see, what was advertised with him at different levels, and now the confidence is coming. And I just really, with the way this season is going, you kind of have to look for bright spots and things to be encouraged by. And, depending on how this next couple weeks, goes, you're looking to the, who's going to be the cornerstones and the big parts of your team moving forward and all that kind of stuff. And I've really, really enjoyed watching his development. He's taken a massive, massive leap in his development. He's gritty. He's not scared of the physical stuff. He'll go to the net. He's good defensively. And now we're starting to see, what we've all been waiting for, which is that shot. So it's, I've been really impressed with him.
Well, you just used the word cornerstone, Chris. Do you think that he can be that kind of guy for years for this franchise?
I mean, I do. It's early and with him, which, we always say he's still a very young man. There's lots of development left. And, you know, every time I've seen him, he's gotten better and better, a little bit better each time. But this last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, you know, it's been a huge leap. And the coaching staff, because of the way he's played defensively in all areas of his game, he's been rewarded and put up on, you know, playing with some better players on the first, you know, power play unit. And he's just paid huge dividends. And you could see his confidence grows every game. And I think he's definitely a huge piece moving forward. I mean, you know, it's maybe too early to say is he, you know, Roman Josi or, you know, that type of a, you know, stature of a player, but he definitely could be.
C-Mace, you've seen Carolina a couple of times this year. Obviously, the Predators on the road in Carolina for the first time tonight. What stood out to you about the Hurricanes? They've won 5 in a row. They are playing really, really well right now. What makes them so dangerous?
Oh, they play fast. You know, obviously, you know, there's a difference between having a bunch of guys on your team that can skate fast and a team that can play fast. And what I mean by that is Carolina, they have such mobile defensemen that when they get the puck, they're moving to their forwards in motion, and their forwards handle the puck, and they keep going, and they support each other. Their transition is instantaneous. I think, you know, after we'd played Detroit and Columbus and Columbus again, then when Carolina stepped in, it was like night and day, the way that they moved the puck and the way that they were able to transition through the neutral zone and create offense. I think it caught the Preds, you know, a little bit by surprise. I know it did me, just how good they were, how fast they played. But they got better as the game went on. It's not like they, you know, the Preds aren't a fast team and they can't adapt to that and adjust. But that's the thing to me is to be ready for that, because Dallas is a different team as well. Dallas, you know, they'll try to bore you 5-on-5 and play a big heavy game and make it tough that way. They're not always on the attack where Carolina is. They get the puck and go. So to me, that's the most impressive thing about them, and they work hard.
C-Mace, what stood out to you about Rem Pitlick? Obviously, the Predators, they continue to be in a tough spot injury-wise with Ryan Ellis being out of the lineup. We found out over the weekend Matt Duchene going to be out for the next 3 to 5 weeks as well. And Pitlick, a guy who's been lighting it up at the AHL level. They originally gave him the assist on Sunday that's since been taken away, so I guess still looking for his NHL or his first NHL point. But what stood out to you about Rem Pitlick, and what do you kind of see his future looking like here with the Predators?
I've always liked him. I liked him the first game. I just think he's such a smart player. You know, he came in, this is one of the hardest things, to come in and be effective defensively in the National Hockey League. Guys can come in sometimes, you know, get some offense right away, depending on who you're playing with, and have that kind of success, but often look lost on the other side in the defensive zone, and you become a liability and all those types of things, kind of like Tolvanen was when he first came. He was, you know, some areas needed to work on in that department. But Pitlick is, you know, you always hear the term, you guys use it too, is a 200-foot player. He's good in every aspect of the game. He's good in faceoffs. You can play him on the penalty kill if you have to. He's got some great offensive skill. He's just a good all-around player. And the thing that I notice most about him when coming back now is just his decisiveness and the way that he feels more comfortable in offensive situations. I think he's really poised type of a hockey player. He's just a good, you know, he's got high hockey IQ. So I really think that he's another guy that, you know, was one of the guys that we all talked about at the beginning of the year that had potential to make this team in a taxi squad. But I think it was, you know, it ended up working really good because he got to go down, score a bunch of goals, come back up, and you can just tell he's feeling good and he's carrying that over. So I was impressed by him as well.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C-Mace, appreciate you taking time to join us, and have fun watching the game tonight against Carolina.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Absolutely. C-Mace. Chris Mason joins us every week here at 8:30 on Tuesdays. And it's funny, like you think about right now some of the younger guys to be excited about. Obviously, Tolvanen getting a lot of the headlines right now, but I agree. Like, I think Pitlick, and I said it last week here on the show, I think he's ready. I think he's NHL ready at this point, and I was impressed by what I saw out of him in one game in Dallas.
Bring on Tomasino. Make
he's
it a
the next one,
make
baby.
It a trifecta.
Just keep going with him. The young one's coming up.
That's right.
That may be a point they get to a little bit later in the season. We'll have to see how that goes. But speaking of the game tonight for the Predators against Carolina, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll have your chance to select a goal scorer for tonight's game for the Predators. And if you win, you'll get a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Jack from Franklin. Jack, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We are doing great. Hope you are good as well. And Jack, the Predators taking on the Hurricanes tonight. Who is your Pred pick to click for the game tonight against Carolina?
I've got to go a little bit out there with this one. I'm going to go Kelly Yarncrest.
Okay.
Yes. I think he's been in a lot. He kind of reminds me almost of Nick Bonino last season, when he's just been in the right place at the right time for a lot of his points. And against a fast team like the Canes, I think that's really going to come in clutch.
I like that pick, Jack. Very well done. Kelly Yarncrest, second on the team right now in goals. So Jack selecting Kelly Yarncrest tonight to be the goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. That is the first time that we've had a listener select Kelly Yarncrest. And right now here he sits, 6 goals on the season, second on the team.
About time people started recognizing.
It is about time.
Noted goal scorer, Kelly Yarncrest.
Just as long as he gets the 2 goals on the night.
He gets the 2. They're in real good shape. We've talked about that before.
You cannot handle that, Carolina, so if he scores 2 goals tonight.
Jack selected.
Does Jack win twice if he scores 2?
I don't know.
No. We haven't talked about that. No?
Just 1.
Look at Porth. No. All right.
Jack selected Kelly Yarncrest. That leaves the table open for me in the rotation to select Philip Forsberg. I don't know if I've done it all year.
You would have anyway.
Give me number 9. Give me Philip Forsberg. I have got to get on the board. Right now, the listener's leading the competition with 5 correct answers. Joe Rexroad at 4. You've been stuck at 4 for a while.
I have.
Ryan Porth at 1. You've been stuck at 1 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie Stanley at 0. You've been stuck at that for a while.
Are we going to – I've talked about this, and I've never really gotten a ruling. Like, can we pick nobody?
No.
And if they
We've
get
said
shut,
that every time.
And if they get shut out, you win?
No, you can't.
All right.
Who's next? What's gonna happen tonight? Forsberg is gonna unleash that lethal shot on the power play, and Ryan Johansson is just gonna barely deflect it in front.
Or Tolvanen's gonna score like 6 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you basically just—Forsberg should be angry right now.
He probably is. I know Preds fans may be angry.
Ruined his day.
Sorry, Philip. See what I can do for you. Come down the stretch, Joe Rexroad.
You're gonna get him traded.
You're up next.
I'll go. Oh my God! I almost said Yarncrest. Oh. Now I'll go Tolvanen.
Ooh, thanks. The hot streak continues.
I mean,
on the power play.
Who's scoring goals right now? We just picked the 3 guys.
Yeah, we did.
Ryan Porth, you got to go for some deep cuts now. But yeah, give me Tolvanen. The power play, fun to watch.
It is up to 18th in the league now.
I mean that shot. I mean the shot he had against Dallas.
It's gross.
Was filth.
Yeah,
pure filth. So I'll go there.
So Joe Rexroad selecting Eli Tolvanen in the competition today. Ryan Porth, you are bringing up the rear. Kelly Yarncrest, Philip Forsberg, Eli Tolvanen have been selected. Which way are you going with this one?
I don't know who to take.
Do you need me to start listing players?
Roman Josi.
Okay. Roman Josi.
He's always my fallback plan. So give me the captain.
He's been pretty fiery as of late. So
he's
the captain.
Bloody, swearing, getting boarded. He's due for
tonight.
A goal.
He's scoring. Yeah. So Ryan Porth.
We scored in the shootout the other night. Maybe that carries over.
It was a pretty sick goal. By the way, don't get credit for shootout goals.
That
either.
Was filth.
Also,
too.
He did score on a power play that the goal got called back because Granlund touched the goalie's glove.
Yeah.
Good point.
So now, he's due.
Thanks for bringing up that shootout because now I have in my head again the Ryan Johansson. Like, don't ever, ever use him again in a shootout.
Why? I love
it's
that
the
move.
Worst thing. No. He goes, he crawls up there.
I call it the frozen Xbox controller
doop,
move.
Doop, 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 and he never scores. I know he's scored.
Never
score. I've never seen him score. I've never seen him score.
That's a lie. You've seen him score.
On the shootout.
Yes.
It's the worst thing ever. I've never seen it. Philip Forsberg comes down with speed, picks a spot, shoots. There you go. I mean, Yossi's was awesome, but he had a little bit of speed, right? I mean, Yossi had still
a little bit. I mean, Patrick Kane never comes in there with any speed. He's always
it's more than Johansson,
moving
though.
A half a mile.
Johansson, he's skating like I would skate. Like like a little baby deer.
He's
out
trying
there
to make the goalie make the first move, and he did make the goal. The move actually was pretty good the other night.
It worked.
He just didn't lift it.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. Never works. Just get him out of there.
Hatred for the shootout.
I mean, all other aspects of his game that we nitpick, you know, fine. You know, you can work on that. Get him out of the shootout.
I was really hoping that they would put Tolvanen in the shootout the other night, and I was also hoping that if they did that, he would just wind one up from, like, the slot and just rip one. I keep waiting on somebody to just rip one from the slot.
Didn't Shea Weber do that once upon a time?
Yeah. I would love to see
Did he score?
No,
I can't remember.
I think it went wide.
Just shattered the glass.
Damaged the infrastructure of the building with his shot.
Remember that time where Carey Price ducked on a Shea Weber slap shot?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I'd probably duck, too.
That was, like, 10 years ago. It was just Weber and Price. And this was not the shootout or a penalty shot. It was just Weber and Price, and Carey Price just ducked. I mean, the shot went like 8 feet over the net, but it was funny.
He's like, I'm going to get out of the way of that one, boss.
That thing's a bomb.
So our picks today on Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The listener, Jack, selects Callie Yarncroak, noted goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. Robbie Stanley selecting Philip Forsberg today. Joe Rexrode with Ellie Tolvanen. And Ryan Porth with Roman Josi. I have a good feeling. Maybe today is the day I get off the schneid. I think this may be the first time I've been able to select Forsberg all year. Maybe.
What?
I can't remember.
Come on.
I bet you've picked Forsberg.
Maybe.
There's a higher chance that you've picked Forsberg than Joe has seen a Ryan Johansson shootout goal.
I don't think that's true.
I look at the stats and I'm like, when did he score with that crap? No way.
He went through a stretch where he started to do it. And he scored like two or three times in a row with that.
Corey Curtis, by the way, on my text line, says, Robbie can never compare Johansson's goal-scoring ability to Patrick Kane.
I'm not comparing the goal-scoring ability. I'm just comparing the shootout approach, speed.
So first you...
Tolvanen is Ovechkin.
Right, Tolvanen is Ovechkin.
Johansson is Patrick Kane.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I've said this week here on the show.
Chicago sports fans, you know, they're sensitive.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Still looking for a quarterback.
See if they can figure that out. I tell you what, the game tonight, I mean, Carolina has been a team that the Predators have seen twice this year, and they have just the team speed that they play with. To see Mace's point in the last segment, I mean, they're just tough to deal with. They're on fire right now. They're playing really well, and they've got good foot speed, but the way they move the puck through the neutral zone and the confidence they have offensively right now, they are, and I picked them before the season to be the ones that come out of this division in the Final Four setup that the NHL has got this year, and I'm still feeling pretty good about it. Goaltending, to me, is still questionable, but Carolina looks awfully, awfully tough right now. Really good team.
Yeah, this is the grind. Carolina, day off. Carolina, day off. Tampa Bay, day off. Tampa Bay. Then you get a couple with Florida. Then go back to Dallas.
By the way, Tampa Bay... That first game of the two-game set Saturday night, they're raising the banner in front of fans for the first time all season.
Really?
So, Tampa Bay is already tough to beat, but you add those juices into the building?
Think Brady will be in the house?
I don't know.
Tossing the Lombardi trophy from the event level to the...
Hammered. to the ice. Hammered on three wine coolers.
The opening puck drop for the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, maybe so.
Tampa Bay, yeah. Well, that I don't know if that necessarily makes it tougher. I'd be more worried about, you know.
Tampa?
Yeah, like you could play them in an empty pond somewhere and you'd probably be in trouble. But, yeah, give them a little extra juice just in case they needed it. They've been kind of wobbling a little bit. And then all of a sudden they just put six goals in the Blackhawks in like 20 minutes. Like, okay, yeah.
They're still pretty good.
We're fine.
I'm interested to see how they handle goaltending this week. Like, not knowing what the status is right now with UC Saros, I was a little bit surprised they went back with Pekka on Sunday. Now, he played well and obviously proved that he can do it. But you've got, you know, a situation right now where you don't know what Saros and his health looks like at the moment. Like, do you give Pekka every game this week? I mean, you don't have a back-to-back, so I guess technically you could, but that's a whole lot of hockey for a 38-year-old goaltender at this point.
I mean, yeah, I think so. If you're talking about a back-to-back, that'd be a totally different thing. But you do get also, of course, this is four games from now, you do get the two games between Tampa Bay and Florida. This team's going to be in Florida for a stretch. It's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. Not bad.
A couple days between the Tampa Bay and Florida games. So, yeah, I think unless there's obvious signs of wear and tear and he's really playing poorly.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Lots to get to in the world of the NFL and with the Titans as well. So we'll do that next with Charles. But right now, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party. And it's time to text into the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word GOLD to 615-737-1025. That's GOLD to 615-737-1025. Now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.